everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with Prudential Now Realty. As always, we'd like to thank John and everybody here at the station for working to make this crazy show happen. John, how's everything going this week?
Well, those tamales were good. They go along with all the other fair food I've had this week.
Yeah, we couldn't resist, so we did bring you some fresh tamales today. I'm glad that you appreciated that. Mr. Tom Coyne brought those for us. So, Tom, our resident in-house expert lender, Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank, is also here. Tom, how are you?
Well, I'm wishing I had one more tamale, but you guys ate more than I did.
Yeah, we did.
I'm going to go take a nap. You guys do the show.
We kind of went after it. So a couple more hours to catch the fair. Kind of crazy fair week this week. Big Tri-Cities week. So glad to have seen everybody out there enjoying that and taking care of that. And, yeah, there is just a lot going on. So, as always, we kind of like to start off with our crazy real estate story. Now, I got to ask you, Tom, have you ever seen this show called Million Dollar Listing?
You know, I caught myself watching it the other day. And my girlfriend, she had some choice words to say. She was making fun of me a little bit.
Okay, fantastic. So anyway, I have watched the show. I don't know if my wife just thinks I'm crazy. She's like, this is what you do all day, and you come home, and I'm always telling her, I'm like, maybe there's some tips I need to pick up.
Well, but aren't those kind of staged sometimes?
You know,
they're not an accurate portrayal.
That's one of the things I was going to talk about is, yes, they claim, you know, those are not always exactly reality. One of the things that has happened and has come out of that is Luis Ortiz, one of the agents that's in the Million Dollar Listing New York, the crazy real estate story, is that at the end of the season when that wrapped, he actually left Keller Williams, his Keller Williams office, and has joined up with one of his competitors that was on the show. He's actually joined the team. Frederick Eklund to Douglas Elliman, which has also been affiliated with Prudential. So that's kind of tied into our issue here. And so one of the reasons I brought it up. Now, there's a lot of blog sites and talk out there that he was asked to leave Keller Williams. Because sometimes the show, and this is one of the topics I wanted to bring up, is what is not Million Dollar Listing. There are definitely some gray areas, from my opinion, of where that show starts to blur some of the ethical lines of what's going on in real estate. Some of the things that they're showing to create, I think, drama for the reality TV. If we did those types of things here in our local market, there isn't a real estate agent in this town that would want to work with me if that's how we acted.
Wow. I thought you were going to say at the end of the show he lost his license. But.
Well, no. There were a couple items on the show, though, that the Department of New York Real Estate Licensing is investigating. Mm-hmm. One of the things he did is he doctored, photoshopped some of the photos, like for a kitchen that wasn't in great shape on one of his listings. He added some hardwood floors, did some new cabinets.
Wow.
Now, like I said, there was discussion of was that a rendering of how it could be? And that where it got into trouble is that's not how it was listed. He just put those in as the listing photos. And so, and granted, his company did put him on probation after that.
And you're saying you don't do that to your listing photos?
No. There's no adding hardwood floors where there was shabby carpet and stuff like that. So those are some of the issues that put under a microscope with TV and stuff. Was some companies are saying this is not an accurate reflection of the real estate world. If we acted like this, it would be highly unprofessional. But some of it does create good TV, and they're claiming on the other side of it that some of it creates business for those agents.
Do they put a disclaimer at the beginning of the show? I mean, a serious question.
I've never seen it. I mean, and I've watched the show quite a few times. And so, granted, I have it recorded, so maybe my recording starts a little later early, but I've never seen a disclaimer like that. So it is really interesting. I mean, I cringe if if, you know, if people thought, if I acted like that with some of my clients, I mean, yeah, it would not be a representation.
Well, my father-in-law works in the business, and I can tell you right now, he'd probably come after you with at least a foam rubber club.
Yeah, it really is interesting to see. So that was our shake-up in the million-dollar listing world. Now, we also like to definitely tie in some local things that are going on, and this is definitely very Kenmore team specific. I wanted to make an announcement. For the last couple of years, we are the primary sponsor for the Pasco Young Life. It's called the Glow Ball Golf Tournament, and we really like to support Young Life, but also we like to support family events. And so what this is we have 2 dates, October 4th and 5th, and we go out to Pasco Golf Land. And it starts at 4 o'clock at the registration and driving range, and then a shotgun start at 5.
Mm-hmm.
You play one round with light from 5 to 7. We have a little food in between, and then you go out and you play your second round in the dark with glow in the dark golf balls.
Oh, that wow, sounds fun!
That is cool.
It's really fun. It is a family event, two person team. Are $150. We play with our kids, and so we love to have families, dads and sons out, sign up for this. It's an absolute great time, and they just do a fabulous job organizing it. We're proud to sponsor that and be the title sponsor out there. And so we do fill up. We actually filled up both nights last year, so it's kind of outgrowing what we're doing. I mean, we first started, 4 years ago with one night, less team. Now we have 2 nights. So there's spots still left. If you're interested in signing up for that, please go to my website, kenmoreteam.com. Mention the Young Life Global Golf Tournament, and I will get you a registration sheet. Love to see the listeners out there and the folks out there. It's just, it is an absolute blast. I mean, my kids and I, this is perfect golf for me is in the dark. I mean, you want to see. I don't play very often, and this is an absolute blast.
Well, it's kind of like Monte Carlo bowling. I mean, it's golfing.
So yes. The proceeds all go to Young Life?
Yeah. This supports Greater Pasco Young Life, and so they just do a fantastic job with the organizers over there. In fact, I organized that with Kurt Schaefer, who is actually a commercial real estate broker over there at Tippett Company, and so yeah, they're just fantastic to work with. So yeah, please let us know, and we can totally get you hooked up with a registration for that. For one of the things that I wanted to talk about is alternative ways of investigating your potential house purchase. You've been looking online. You've narrowed down. You found the house that you think you want to make an offer on. You've gone and you've seen the house with your agent, but you're just not quite sure. Like, there needs to be some other supporting information. What does it take for you to feel comfortable about that? And what are kind of some of the thinking outside of the box things that you can do to help you feel good about finally making that offer? And so I wrote down some notes of some different ways to look into the house and the neighborhood. Number one that I wrote down was, talk to the neighbors. This is a fantastic thing to do. Go back in the evening to the neighborhood that you're looking at. Park your car somewhere. If there's a local park, that's even better. Spend an hour out there at the park close by the house playing with your kids. And then, or go for a walk around the neighborhood when people come home from work. You'll start to get a feel very quickly for what that is. And then, you just might happen to bump into a neighbor out there.
Mm-hmm.
Look friendly, put your smile face on, and have a conversation with some of those neighbors out there. That is a great, great way to get to know the neighborhood. What's also nice about that, too, is you find out if, the guy with the loud Harley comes ripping home at 6:30 every night and then raves around the neighborhood 3 times, you start to see things kind of from a different light than you might have seen if you were just there during the daytime.
Or if one of the other neighbors tends to have a lot of social gatherings late into the night.
Yes, and that is. And I mean, you start.
We used to have a neighbor that was like that, and sometimes we needed to enlist the help of our friends at the KPD.
Yeah, and
that our family is no longer living there.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
So those are the types of things that you start to figure out when you're viewing the house at alternative times. Mm-hmm. One of the things that helps you, too, is it helps you get to know the traffic patterns, how many people are leaving for work early, coming home from work late. And then it gives you just a different perspective. What is it like up there? What's the view like? What's the nighttime view like? You know, when you start to see how many street lights are there? Is it the darker neighborhood? Does it tend to be?
You might see it in a whole different light.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
You're exactly right. So that is one of the biggest things that you can really do to get an alternative view of that. Another thing that comes up, too, with those times is weekend versus weekday. If you've seen the house on a weekday, definitely take a look at it on a weekend day. You know, swing by through the weekend, see what it's like on the weekend. Is it a neighborhood that's closed up, people stay inside a lot, or Saturday, Sunday morning, are there, you know, kids out in the streets playing street hockey, and you're looking for that environment of, you know, family neighborhood and somewhere for the kids to be. So alternative times and viewing really start to give you a major, major different perspective on what's going on in that neighborhood. Another thing that I wrote down is check out the local blog or Facebook page. A lot of neighborhoods nowadays have started to have their own neighborhood Facebook pages or blogs. So what you can do is you can, like for instance, ours page in our neighborhood started with the local pool, like the community pool. They started a Facebook page. You know, that way they could keep neighbors track with if they were doing maintenance of the pool, or they had to close it early, or they needed to do a community cleanup day. What's nice is you start to see how many people have liked that page, what the participation is like in the neighborhood, what type of neighborhood events they've started to have, and many times on that page too, neighbors now use that as a way of, a lot of times, for instance, I saw one last week where they're like, hey, just wanted to let you guys know, Kennewick police recovered a stolen car, and in the stolen car was mail from our house. And so I saw that on one of these neighborhood, you know, one of these neighborhood blogs last week. And so then everybody jumps on, hey, thanks for the information. And, you know, yeah, we all should have locking mailboxes. And there was just great interaction there with the neighbors. When you see that, you're like, oh, okay, so they had an issue and all the neighbors jumped in and responded. And you really start to get a feel for that through these neighborhood blogs. And some of them still do newsletters, but most of them now are done as blogs and Facebook pages. Go ahead, do that search. If you can, get in there, like that page, and start to kind of keep track of it. It is a really cool tool. I mean, it is just, it's something that we're using more and more. So those are the number 1, 2, and 3 that I came up with. I've got some more technology-type apps and ways to continue this research. When we come back after the break, we're also going to talk to Tom Coyne, maybe about a little bit, not so much just researching the house, but I think researching your lender also.
And we'll be right back on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about some alternative ways to investigate your potential house purchase. Some things kind of outside of the box people don't always do, stuff you might not see right off the bat. So we've had some great tips about talking to the neighbors, walking the neighborhood, coming back to the house at alternative times. There's definitely a lot you can learn with a little bit of good old-fashioned show up at different times in the neighborhood. So, Tom, but tell us on the lending side. It's been a little crazy over there. I mean, from what I've been monitoring, it sounds like you've been having to kind of keep track of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it is extremely busy right now. There's a ton of transactions going, so that's a good thing. So it's always nice to see the business coming in the doors on a regular basis. But, Lance, just as you're looking around for different neighborhoods people want to live in, it's really important to look around for who you want to finance your home. Not all lenders are created equal, in my opinion.
I would agree with you.
So a lot of people just think it's best to stroll to their bank where they cash their weekly paychecks and apply for a home loan. While that bank is likely willing and able to give them a home loan, they may not be able to get them the best deal that that borrower could find if they were to be out there shopping around. So I think one of the best ways to get an idea of which lenders have a reputation of great rates, great services, to talk to people in the industry. Speak with your real estate agent and see who they have a working relationship with. Most of the real estate agents I know have a handful of people they really like working with and a handful of people they prefer not to work with because of, say, bad past experiences or a history of issues arising during a transaction. Lance, I know that your team always asks who your clients are planning on getting their financing with. Tell me some of the reasons why it's so important for you to find out early who will be financing those transactions.
Well, early on, I mean, that's one of our standard questions when somebody calls in to our office is who are you working with a lender? I mean, number one, is that the question? And many people, I will tell you, find it offensive. It doesn't seem like that because we're doing a real estate radio show, but many people take great offense to it on the phone. The reason we do is because most sellers in town that have a sign up in front of their house for sale, most sellers, when you speak with them and you ask them who they want us to bring the house, you know, to their house, the majority of them want the people to be pre-qualified. In fact, I can't think of a reason not to, but want the people to be pre-qualified. So because of that, almost as a professional courtesy, we are making sure that those folks are pre-qualified. But sometimes when people call in, they, don't take offense if you call in and that's the question we ask you. It's just at that moment on that call, we don't have, to run out and show you the house. We don't have any other reason to know who you are. And we don't have any intention of becoming a bad news story about letting people through the house that we had no idea who they were.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes down to safety and security in the beginning. And then also from just protecting our sellers, want to make sure those folks are qualified. So for us, it's a protection mechanism for our sellers. And then also it's a double check of really we kind of want to validate if somebody's working with a reputable lender. That we know them, we know their track record, we know they're getting the best service possible. So then our next step is are you getting the best service possible? So, are you working with somebody that we know the loan's going to close, somebody that we know has always treated people fair, and that has a high likelihood of actually being able to get the money for you?
All right. Well, that's great insight hearing it from the real estate agent's perspective. So just as you would talk with Lance Kenmore and their team over there about maybe who you should talk with for financing, another way to find out who you should be talking to is talk with your family and friends. If your friends and family had an experience with someone, a great experience with someone, it's quite possible you could have that same great experience with that lender. However, I think for every person that has a great experience, you can probably find someone who's had a terrible experience with someone and maybe wouldn't be so inclined to give you a referral to that lender. So getting feedback from friends and family is a great resource. I've been a loan officer here in the Tri-Cities for about 10 years now. Born and raised here, I have no intentions of ever leaving. A huge percentage of my business comes from these past client referrals, and I really think it's a testament to the quality of service and the rates I'm able to provide to all of our clients. When you've been in business for 10 years, you also start getting a lot of business from repeat clients or people who I've financed homes for years ago. It's a great compliment to me when I get a call and it's their first call when they've started considering purchasing another home or inquiring about financing, whether it's for a purchase or even, say, a refinance. I love hearing from these past clients because it really reaffirms that we're meeting and exceeding the expectations in all the transactions we do. Another thing to keep in mind when you're shopping lenders is that if something sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true. If you talk with... It's very true in this industry.
We're laughing because I immediately pops into my head said is like 1.8% interest rate, and then there's like all the, I can't read the fine print fast enough at the bottom of the TV.
You see one of those ads on TV at the end of
I'm
the ad.
I'm trying to pause it.
Look, and there's about there's about three graphs of fine print, and it's up there for 5 seconds, and you can't.
It's crazy. It's like 1.8%. If you used to be the neighbor of our vice president, and your credit score is 893, and you know Jim's uncle, you might get 1.8%.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, Don. That's a great point.
If you've called three lenders here in town, and they're all, say, quoting you around 4%, and then you see this TV ad pop up that says 2%, and then, like you said, flashes that little disclosure at the bottom for a second, then there's probably a catch to it. And if you call them, that's what their marketing ploy was. They want to just get you on the phone and see if they can redirect you to another program. And then you find out that that 2% was for a 1-year arm, and then it's going to adjust after that. So just keep in mind that if you're hearing across the board with everyone you talk to that rates are at X, and then you hear one guy saying rates are at Y, there might be more to it than what's on the cover. So
great point.
I chose to work for Sterling Home Loans because I know how competitive our rates are. If I kept getting beat on my rates by their lenders, I wouldn't be able to close any loans. I wouldn't be able to be in business and be as successful as we've become. So fortunately, that's not the case. Sterling is consistently ranked number one or two every month for the volume of home loans we close in Benton and Franklin County. That's a testament on how competitive we are in this local industry. We also have a very strong reputation in the community for being extremely efficient in the processing your loans. Nearly every time we're done with a transaction, the borrower tells me that the loan went far smoother than they ever expected. That's the goal on every transaction. There's enough stress when you're buying a home, packing up the home, living out of boxes, changing your address, getting into a new routine, finding the new best way to work. The list goes on and on of all the stresses buying a home. Getting your home loan does not need to be one of those stresses. So when you're shopping around for your home loan, I'd love the opportunity to chat with you. I'll sit down with you to discuss all your different loan options. I'm not only going to tell you what your best loan program is, but why it's your best program. So I'm confident we'll do what it takes to earn your business and exceed your expectations as well.
Fantastic information, Tom. We appreciate having you and having you there for our clients. My team also wanted to express my thanks to you again. Another great couple weeks of closings, and your staff just really hitting it out of the park. So thanks a lot. We've been talking about alternative ways to research your home purchase. You've decided to throw down, you know, a couple $100,000 on a house. That's not really just a small thing to be considered. We might want to do a little extra research to make sure we're in the right spot. Now, there's many things that you can do that sometimes your agents can't even do for you. Like, we might be prevented from doing certain things as far as arbitrarily recommending, you know, schools, crime reports, that type of stuff. I mean, we have to be very, very careful about what and how we present information. So some of these are alternative ways that you as a consumer can go out and do on yourself, by yourself, to really research and make a great decision about the house we found, you know, with you. One of the things is there are so many apps now that are incredible. A great one is there's called Crime Reports for iPhone. And this app is incredible because it provides information about crime based upon your location or address. Some of the things it'll display on the map are noise nuisances that have been reported, sex offenders, or vehicle break-ins. So that Crime Reports app gives you some of those specifics about where and when the incident occurred. So they've gathered all of this public information and put it together in this one app. I mean, that is a great, great tool to have. If a neighborhood has been continually had break-ins, that might not be your best choice for what you're looking for.
That's awesome. You know, it'd be really tough to go and gather all that information on your own and see what kind of crimes in the neighborhood. So that's awesome.
So there are some great new apps going on. Also, we've talked about before, we cite them on the show quite a bit, but Zillow's real estate apps are just incredible. You know, they give you great Zillow and Trulia and Realtor.com. They give you great ideas of estimates of value of other properties on the block. It's nice to have that overhead view and then look and see what the estimates of value are. You know, we talk about buying the most expensive house in the smallest neighborhood, not really the best idea. If you can, you know, value-wise, you want to have the least expensive house in the nicest neighborhood to kind of hold your ground up. So it's nice to be able to look at that map visually and kind of make a decision about where you fall in those value ranges. Now, it's not perfect. You need to take that information back and validate that with your real estate agent, have somebody to talk to about. It's not a perfect science, but man, it can give you a great, great ballpark. And then the other thing, too, is to just simply Google the street address. It's really interesting what pops up. And one of the things that's really nice about that is a lot of people use Google Maps to list their business locations. So when you type in a street address and you find out that, you know, the guy down the street from you with the big shop is actually named Jim Bob's Custom Welding Fabrication and Cutting, and trailer making, you know that Jim Bob down there, is there's going to be some noise coming out of that place.
A little die grinding.
Yeah, you know, or a lot of times daycares or preschools are ran out of residential houses, and they'll be listed as a business on this map. So when you type in the Google address, it's really nice to kind of get that overview of what's going on around you. So that just gives you just a great idea of if there's any type of home-based businesses that are being ran around you that might affect your decision.
Lance, how many people right now are listening to the show typing in their address?
Well, I typed in mine. I typed in the radio station's address and everything before we came. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. I don't know. So when I typed in mine, I saw like two neighborhoods over, I saw a doctor listed, and I'm like, that's just strange to me. So mine was like medical associates, and it was a residential address, and I'm like, I guess.
Make a house call, I guess. Huh?
Yeah. So anyway, as I was researching the show and preparing, you're exactly right. I did the same thing, and you really start to see some interesting stuff. It was kind of cool, too, because it allows you to put reviews for your neighborhood parks. Google those maps are really interactive. I didn't have a lot of time to jump on there and do a lot of reviews, but we have a couple parks nearby, and you can jump on there and just post a review. Hey, I was over at the park. It's great. It has this. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those tools are just amazing. So a lot you can do with just Googling your street address for sure. And speaking of street addresses, of course, as I told you, by the way, two of the pick threes from last week sold.
Gone. Good. Nice.
Just fantastic properties and some great, great showings. We've got some great new listings, some fantastic new listings. In fact, here's one where an area we don't see a lot because there's not a lot of transactions out there. Most people that end up in Burbank love it out there and stay out there a long time. We don't see a lot of turnover out there. Here is one of those fantastic properties out in Burbank. We just listed this 73 Monument Drive. We just took over this listing. This is 7.6 acres out in Burbank. This house is 2,100 square feet on that acreage, and then it's got a 32 by 46 shop. They've gone through, they've insulated the shop. The shop has its own pellet stove. This thing is just dialed in for those winter work projects and with insulation summer projects. Great shop, great property, tons of acreage, 2,100 square foot house, and we're coming in with a new price on this thing at $280,000.
Wow.
So fantastic, fantastic new listing that we've got out there. Pick number two that I got back into Central Kennewick, Fountain Hills. This is with Sefton Homes, one of our builders. Brand new construction. And what we've done is there's a new development right behind Costco that we've been building in, and it's just a tremendous location. I mean, walk to Costco, walk to the Olive Garden, walk to the mall, walk to the movie theater. I mean, all
Extreme Pizza.
Extreme Pizza. All of this is within walking distance. So this neighborhood is just incredible. Sales have been great in there. We have gone in, and this is the smallest house that we've built for the best value in that neighborhood. So we're talking, we have gone through and we've just put in a new model, 1,600 square feet, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, hardwood floors, granite counters in the kitchen, super dialed in, great Septon home quality, and this house is putting you in that neighborhood for $224,300. And yes, the $300 is important. We got it down as low as we possibly could. And so that made a difference. So $224,300 on that listing on Montana Street, right there behind Costco. That is just a fantastic, fantastic home in that neighborhood. Now, this last one, I hesitate to mention this because the phone was ringing off the hook yesterday. My gut is that we're going to have an offer on this afternoon. We might not, so just in case, I'm going to mention it. But we listed a lot. We listed a lot out in Badger Canyon, 1 1/4 acre, Badger Canyon, off of Private Road Southeast 887. So just out there, past Cottonwood Springs, 1 1/4 acre lot. Out of town owners, and they're like, you know, we're not moving back to Tri-Cities. We just need to get it gone. So go ahead and move that. We have priced that lot at $60,000.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's exactly right. 1 1/4 acre. I mean, literally, we put this thing live, and the phone has just been ringing. So basically, you know, first one that can pull the trigger. Land loans, as you know, are a little bit harder. You got to have more down payment. But if you've been looking for an acre and a quarter in Badger Canyon and you haven't heard about this lot yet, I would be calling very, very quickly.
Yes.
So hit our website, kenmartin.com. We'd love to direct you to those pick threes. Just lots going on in the market, a lot of activity. Tom, thanks for that information about finding a lender. I mean, it's just wonderful to have a good professional to send our clients to. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Lance.
And we're just kind of in that sweet spot. I tell you what, folks, September, October, the first part of November in Tri-Cities are huge, huge real estate months for us. A lot going on, a lot of great inventory, and so this is a great time to be selling and buying in the Tri-Cities. And as always, we're going to be right back here next Saturday.
Right here on News Talk 870.